I know I speak for everyone when I say we're so thankful for those who play the musical instruments, each one of you. How you do such a good job and help us as we worship the Lord in song. If you will now, let's open our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We are going to look at one verse tonight, the first verse in this chapter. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. There are two comparisons in this text. One comparison is between a good name and precious ointment. The other comparison is between the day of one's birth and the day of his death. First, the comparison between a good name, which is better than precious ointment. We are to understand by precious ointment great riches. Proverbs 22 and verse 1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. A good name is better than precious ointment. I have three observations I want to make to us tonight about names. Names. First, in the scriptures, the meaning of a name often describes the character of that person. In the Word of God, many times the name of a person describes his character. Let me give us three examples. First, the name Jacob. Jacob. It's well known that his name means supplanter. His brother Esau said this, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. What does it mean to supplant? It means to obtain or substitute by deceit. And that was true of Jacob's character. We all are aware of that. That he was a schemer. He always had a scheme to deceive, a trickster, we might say. His name, Jacob, that's what it means, supplanter, and that described Jacob. I might say that described Jacob before he met the Lord. Another example, the names of a man and his wife, Nabal and Abigail. We all are familiar with their story, their history, how that their conduct was equal to their name. Their names describe their conduct or their character. Nabal means folly, foolishness. And as his wife said to David, for as his name is, so is he. Folly. Nabal. Foolishness. His folly, his foolishness, that is, his conduct, would have cost the lives of everyone in his household. And it would have stained the hands of David with their blood. His name, Nabal. Folly. Foolishness. His wife, her name is Abigail, and that name means father, that is the source, father of joy, rejoicing. And she, by her conduct, brought rejoicing to the house of Nabal, for she saved them all. Her conduct, she saved them all from destruction. And then we know that she became David's second wife. And she brought rejoicing to him, bearing his second son, Chibiel. The name Solomon, the writer of this verse that we are looking at tonight, his name means peaceable. And this was emphasized in God forbidding his father David to build the temple in Jerusalem. David had it in his heart. He desired to build God a house. But God said no. Remember when he first told the prophet Nathan that he wanted to build God a house, Nathan spoke off the top of his head, as we would say. He said, go ahead. Do what's in your heart. But Nathan went home and God spoke to him and he said, you go back and you tell David, he's not going to build me a house. I'm going to build him a house. He was not allowed to build the house, and the reason given was because he was not a peaceable man. He was a man who had seen much war. He had shed much blood. But Solomon, his son, was given a reign of peace, a peaceful reign, and he was allowed to build the temple, the beautiful temple of God. And Solomon, you remember at the dedication of that temple, he asked this question. And it's a wonderful question. He said, will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Really? Will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? But we know in the fullness of the time, he did. In the fullness of the time, he did come to dwell with men on the earth. And in him, that is in Christ, the Apostle Paul tells us, dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Arthur Pink made this comment. He said, the infinite became finite, the eternal temporal, and the immortal mortal, yet continued still infinite, eternal, immortal. He did not cease to be what he has always been, that is God. Eternal, infinite, immortal. But he took unto himself a body that was finite, that was temporal, that was mortal. A good name then, as this verse tells us, a good name then would mean to have good qualities. I've tried to show how that in the Old Testament, these names many times revealed the character of the person who had the name. A good name then would mean a person who has good qualities, such as honesty, a person who's honest, a person who is trustworthy, a person who is kind, a person who is faithful. In other words, we might say a person who has the fruit of the Spirit manifested in his life. A good name is better than great riches. My second observation is this. There is a name above every name. We might turn to Philippians chapter 2. There is a name which is above every name. And the Apostle Paul speaks of this in Philippians chapter 2, speaking of the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. Verse 5, he exhorts believers in this church at Philippi, and thus he exhorts you and I, believers tonight, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, He knew he was equal with the Father, that he is God, equal with the Holy Spirit. But he made himself of no reputation. He made himself. He did this voluntarily, the eternal Son of God. He did this freely out of his great love for his Father and for his church, for his children. He made himself, or being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a slave. When you see the word servant in the scriptures, in the New Testament, you may almost be sure it's the same word that would be translated slave. A slave. A servant. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Paul says, even the death of the cross, the most ignominious death known to men, the death of the cross. He made himself of no reputation. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him. Here it is, and given him a name which is above every name. A good name, our text tells us, is better than precious ointment. I'm saying this evening that there is a name which is better than every name, above every name. And that's the name that is given to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the name of Jesus. The name he was given when he came into this world as a man. He has many names. We recognize that. He has many titles. But this name which was given unto him was the name that was given to him at his birth, the God-man, God with us, Emmanuel, Jesus, Jehovah saves. He will save his people from their sin. You know, there's no question when you read that in the Word of God. There's no maybe, there's no if, there's no but. No. He shall call his name Jesus. Why? Because he shall save his people from their sins. He's given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not that he's going to be Lord. He is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. John Gill gives three translations of the words that we have here in verse 9. Given him a name which is above every name. John Gill said the Syriac version renders this, he was given a name which is more excellent than every name. More excellent than every name. The Arabic version translates it, he was given a name which is more eminent than every name. More eminent. And the Ethiopian version says he was given a name which is greater than every name. It is the only name given among men whereby we must be saved. For there is salvation in no other. How much better is his name than precious ointment? How much better is his name than great riches? My third observation is this. There is a name that is given to all of God's chosen redeemed people. There is a name given to all of God's chosen redeemed people. You've got a name. You've got a name here in the Word of God if you are one of His children tonight. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 4. God speaking, Isaiah 62 and verse 4, "Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married." The name Hephzibah takes the place of forsaken, and the name Beulah replaces desolate. When we come into this world, you and I, when we come into this world, what better word could describe us than the word forsaken? Forsaken. We are all spiritually like the infant described in Ezekiel chapter 16. For we are forsaken, cast out, none to cut our navel cord. The psalmist said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." The navel cord is what connects the child to the mother, isn't it? There was none to cut our navel cord. We were cast out. We were forsaken. We could not cut our own navel cord, that is, from our mother, from sin. We were born in sin. We were shapen in iniquity. And we didn't have the ability to cut that cord, to deliver ourselves from our sin. We were forsaken. There was none to wash us. Just like that infant. None to wash us. We were filthy, polluted in our own blood. And there was none to wash us, to cleanse us from our sins. There was none to swaddle us, to take us up in His arms and console us, as a mother does a baby. We were forsaken. Forsaken. There was none to pity us. There was none to have compassion on us. And let me remind us tonight, brothers and sisters, if it were not for the grace of God in Christ, so would we remain. So would we remain, just like that infinite, unloved, unwashed, none to pity, none to have compassion on, if it were not for the grace of God. That was our condition. We were described by this word, forsaken. And but by the grace of God, we would have continued so. But God... I've got a dear friend, many of you know him. I won't call his name, but whenever he's here, if he hears me quote that text, "But God," I know I'm going to hear a loud amen. 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 "But God, who is rich in mercy, with His great love wherewith He hath loved us, He passed by when we were cast out to the loathing of our own flesh." He passed by, and He said, "Live, live." And so our name is no longer forsaken, but now it is Hephzibah, which means "My delight is in her." That's your name. And if you are in Christ tonight, just as God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom I find delight," even so you, my friends, your name is Hephzibah. God delights in you. You are accepted in the Beloved. Likewise, we may all be described by that term, desolate. Desolate. A desolate woman. A desolate woman, in the Word of God, had no husband. She had no husband. She had none to love her, none to provide for her, none to defend her, none to cherish her. She was desolate. What a description of us. But now, our name is Beulah. We sing that hymn sometimes. I've reached the land of corn and wine. Beulah land. Our name is Beulah. What does that mean? It means we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our husband. We are married to Him. In Isaiah 54 and verse 5, we read, Thy Maker is thine husband. Who made you? Who created you? God did. Thy Maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is His name. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall He be called. How much better is this name than precious ointment? Hezbah and Beulah. That's your name tonight. How much better is this than great riches? All right, the second comparison, the day of one's death as better than the day of one's birth. Better is the day of death than the day of one's birth. Now, I have three observations to make on this comparison, the day of birth compared with the day of death. First of all, the day of one's birth brings one into an evil world. The day of your birth, day of my birth, brought us into an evil world. The Apostle Paul said it like this in Galatians 1, verses 3 and 4. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. This world, which was created by God and pronounced good, each day when God worked in the week of creation, each day all that He created, He pronounced good. Good. Everything in it and everything about it was pronounced good. How then has it become this present evil world? If you look at the last verse in this seventh chapter of Ecclesiastes, the answer is given to us. How has this world that God created and pronounced good become an evil world? Man, lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Man has sought out many inventions. He first sinned, man did. He first sinned and introduced all the evil that is in this world. It all came in because of sin. I was thinking this past week of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when He was asked about His coming. He said, but as the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. But as the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. How were the days of Noah? Look back with me in Genesis chapter 6. How were the days of Noah? Genesis chapter 6, And verse 5, the scripture said, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Do you believe the Bible? Do you? Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe God's word? Do you hear God's testimony? How it was in the days of Noah? Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Well, someone might say, yes, but God sent a flood, and maybe by that flood, by destroying all flesh outside that ark, maybe things changed. Maybe things changed. Well, look in chapter 8. Chapter 8 of Genesis, verse 21. This is when Noah came out of the ark. First thing he did was build an altar. Build an altar. Offer clean animals as sacrifice on that altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, "I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake." Notice, "for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." Nothing had changed. Human nature still, human nature. That which is born of the flesh is still flesh. This being an evil world, the day of one's birth brings a person into an evil world. And Job said it like this, "Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." No one escapes from the fact, from the truth. Doesn't matter if he's born a prince to a great king, if he's born to a family of great wealth, it doesn't matter what his circumstances may be. He's born into an evil world. Every one of us. That's the day of one's birth. The second observation I want to make about the day of one's death is it's determined. The day of our death is determined. God has a calendar, doesn't he? And on that calendar, he has the day of your birth. He has the day of my birth. That was determined before we ever breathed a breath of air in this world. You say, does the Bible teach that? Absolutely. It is appointed. It is appointed unto men once to die. And that is an appointment that every man's going to keep. Look with me in Job chapter 14. Turn back just a few pages. Job chapter 14. Verse 1, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower." Oh, how beautiful. Newborn baby, like a flower. "And is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow." That's how fast his life is in this world, in this time. "His life is like a shadow, fleeing shadow, and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one," speaking to God, "dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one?" Isn't it amazing? Isn't it a marvel that God Almighty would be mindful of you and I? I'm sure I may have told you this before, but Arthur Pink's book on the attributes of God, I've read that many, many times. But that first chapter, I don't think I have ever read that first chapter that my heart was not moved. The solitariness of God. There was a time, if we could call it time, when there was nothing but God. Nothing. And he was content and happy and perfect. He didn't need anything or anyone. And yet he chose to create. And in his work of creation, no doubt, for his manifestative glory, doesn't add anything to God. Nothing can be added to a perfect being that God is. But his manifestative glory, no doubt, is the reason he created and ordained the fall and ordained the saving work of Jesus Christ as a display of his amazing grace. Dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one? He does. Thank God he does. Bringeth me into judgment with thee. If thou contendest, God, if you contend with us, who's going to win this fight? God is. He said, let the potsherds of the earth strive with the potsherds of the earth. Broken pieces of pottery, let them fight it out. But don't try to fight against God. You're not going to win that battle. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Now notice, seeing his days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. How good when we think about the fact that the day of our death, the day of one's death, is determined. How good the prayer of David in Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5, when he said, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth. I think that's probably the shortest unit of measurement they had. Thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, as wide as your hand. And mine age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether. And my third observation is this. The day of a believer's death is a blessed day. Look at one other verse in Isaiah chapter 57. The day of a believer's death is a blessed day. In Isaiah 57. In verse 1, the scripture says, the righteous perisheth, no man layeth it to heart, merciful men are taken away. Now watch this, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil. Now the translators have added those two words, the evil to come, but the righteous is taken away from the evil. The day of a believer's death is the day that he bids goodbye to sin. Adios. Amen. Adios. Goodbye. Goodbye to this sinful nature which I've had. Goodbye to this evil world. And think of this. The day of a believer's death is the day that he enters his Father's house and is blessed with the vision of his Savior. To look into the face of the one who loved us and gave himself for us. To depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. May the Lord bless his word to all of us here tonight. Good name. A good name is better than great riches, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. And of course, you know, he's speaking about the day of a believer's death. He's not talking about the day of an unbeliever's death. Couldn't call that good. Let's sing a hymn before we're dismissed.